Happy Father's Day, everyone!
So, are you guys ready to hear who the teller is today?
Yeah!
Are you, bud? Okay, well, he was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. He attended Mount Carmel High School, which, trust me, I'm sure he'll tell you about it. He attended Elmhurst College, where he received a bachelor's degree, a bachelor's of science in physics and math. He worked as a director of development for a video game company. He also has worked for over a decade in higher education at a college here in Chicago as a Windows Systems admin while attending Harvard University, where he has one more semester to go and he will receive a Master's of Information Management Systems. Guys, who is the teller today?
Our dad.
Yeah, it's your dad. So guys, I hope you guys enjoy the interview. Bye. Today, our teller is a wonderful father of two and happens to be my husband. So, welcome to the podcast, Cornell.
Hi. Well, I'm glad to be here.
So, today, happy Father's Day to you, babe.
Thank you.
And happy Father's Day to all of you guys that are listening that are fathers. But today, our teller, since it's my husband and he is a father, I'm going to ask him some, trying to be a little bit hard on him, but some hard questions related to fatherhood and being Black as a father. So first of all, babe, there's a study out there. There's tons of study about Black men as fathers. I want to really ignore a lot of these studies, but I want to start off with one. One is saying that recently from 2016, kind of recent, 72% of Black children are raised by single parent, and they're saying a single parent being the woman, and which is 25% overall in the U.S. What do you think about this type of percentage?
I actually think that's pretty accurate, maybe even lower than what I experienced over the course of my life. I had about seven guy friends that I hung out with growing up and through high school. And of the seven of us, only two of us, myself included, actually had a father in the home. It was pretty common to have friends or go over to people's houses where there wasn't a male role model in the house. And all my friends were impressed that my father was actually home and someone you can talk to.
So did they see your father as somewhat like a father figure to them or at least a mentor?
They saw him as something that they could aspire to. My father really believed in education, so he was always working on a degree or something. And it was somewhat inspirational to a bunch of my my friends from growing up. And truth be told, I went to all guys high school. So
Catholic high school.
Too. Catholic high school. Mount Carmel. So a lot of male role models were presented to my friends in school, and they always wanted to look and see if they could find a role model that looked more like them. Most of the educators at Mount Carmel were white, so it wasn't a lot of strong Black male role models for them to look up to.
Actually, you brought up a really good point. Now that you said that, do you think that in all boys' school, for those that do not have a parent or like a male figure in the home, would be beneficial to them or not necessarily?
I think that everyone benefits from having examples of something that they could try and grow up to. I think oftentimes children like to see themselves in any type of hero or role model in their community. So they can say, you know, I want to grow up to be just like this person or that person. I think there's a problem when people can't identify with successful people if they don't see themselves in whoever is growing up or at the top.
And actually, let's go back to your father for a second. It being Father's Day, we recognize you, obviously, because you are a father of two. But we also want to recognize and think of our fathers who have passed on. But for the viewers to know how educated your father was and also mine, too, can you just tell us just a little bit about him?
So when my father was passing away, when he finally passed away, he was actually working on his legal degree. He had already gotten a PhD in education administration. He had a master's in, I believe, mathematics. He had an bachelor's degree in accounting. He had, oh, geez, he probably had a couple other degrees that I'm not remembering. I remember when he graduated with his PhD at Northern Illinois. That was a really proud day for all of us. And education was always very important in our home. So you were either growing up, you're either in school or working or both. You couldn't just be sitting around. So my dad, for the course of my life growing up, he was always studying something, trying to improve himself.
And I think that's really significant and important for viewers to know. And as far as the dad is concerned, and with my father as well, he had maybe 5 degrees, same as your father, with a PhD and a postdoctorate being his highest degree. So putting those two together, our kids should be pretty daggone smart, I think. But going back to you as a Black father, within these statistics, what I'm really trying to get to is how can we change this whole Black dad narrative? When in the media, on TV shows, in movies, and just on the streets, we see that people are afraid of Black men. Not even just white people, but you see some Black people afraid of our own kind, but men alone. And what can we do, and what can you guys do as fathers to help our boys growing up as far as understanding this stereotype and hopefully overcoming, this can change when they get older. But what do you say about that?
Well, I think a large part of it has to do with, sadly, how our legal system works. It goes above and beyond the call of duty to try and lock up people of color across the board. So it's not uncommon to have a lot of Black youths having, once they graduate out of high school, having either a felony or some sort of record already before they move into the workforce. I think we need to really look at how we handle our justice system to try and really go, instead of trying to target punishment of people, but trying to rehabilitate people and get them to contribute to society. I also think, though, that as a Black male, you have to understand that every day you're going to have to go above and beyond what would be expected to order to achieve the same thing. And I think it's the same for women of color, Black women, Latinas. You have to be better than your peers. But what that means also, though, is you have to be consciously thinking about your behavior. One of the problems I always had with Obama during his presidency was I always felt that he kind of buried his emotions because he didn't want to come off as being too upset or too crazy, even when tough times happen, whether it's gun violence or anything that was obvious racism. He didn't want to come off as being an angry Black man. But I think sometimes you had to step up and talk about how you view things and how the problems affect you emotionally. And sometimes I think he went a little bit overboard in trying to cover it up. I think, though, that for Black males, especially if you're dealing with law enforcement, any sign of additional aggression or over emotion can be used as something to say, well, this person's resisting arrest and whatever happened was this person's fault because he didn't follow procedure or he didn't follow my clear directions. So whenever, as our boys grow up, one of the things I really want to work on them, and I've been working on them, is how to control their emotions so that if they're in a situation that's stressful, they can take a deep breath and kind of focus on trying to address the situation as opposed to not having an emotional response. So I guess what I'm saying is a long way of saying is I think that Black men have to be doubly conscientious of how they appear in public, but they also, there has to be an understanding that not every Black male, no matter what the media portrays, is some criminal or someone to be afraid of.
So kind of back to the education part of it, do you think, how significant is education then for these Black men growing up as far as just the K through 12, then high school, then getting into college. As I mentioned in the introduction, you attend Harvard for your master's. So as a Black man, you know, there are a large percentage now of Black men attending the Ivy League schools, but it is still somewhat rare. So that's another huge accomplishment. So as far as education is concerned, is that something that you think, if they have that education, it would help them from this gang violence, from being a part of the gang, being part of any of the things that they shouldn't be?
I think that we can sometimes be prisoners of our own experiences and our own limits that we place upon ourselves. I recently had a young person that was working with me at Columbia here in Chicago that was not aware of a lot of different things that you can do or had access to. And one of the things I remembered from my first time of going to game industry functions, because for a little while I was planning on being a video game developer, was there's a certain lack of knowledge we have in the community about how things are made. Like, everybody loves to play Madden, or everybody loves to play NBA 2K, but no one knows like what goes into making those games. And I think that education and just opening yourselves up to broader experiences allows people to understand, how do I make this? How would I, if I wanted to get involved in this industry, how would I go about doing it? One of the things that I'm actually really proud of is that my father and my mother stressed education and stressed reading just to, as a way to broaden my mind. And we're raising our kids to try and hopefully read as much as possible as they get older, just so they know what the limits are, what things they can accomplish, and how they can get to places that they want to be. I think oftentimes it's not that people of color or Blacks are lower IQ or don't have the ability to do well in school. I think what it is a lack of access to resources and knowledge of how to get there. Oftentimes, Black males don't know what roles or how they can afford to pay for college to finish a degree, as opposed to they just are bad at school.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people that don't know the resources, like you said, and knowing that there are grants, there are scholarships out there if you apply to them, and many do not know that. So if you are not familiar with that, go on our website at tellersuntold.com. Some of the link there under the blog shows some grants and scholarships for those that are interested in going into college. Hopefully all of you guys that are ready. I have one last question for you. So what advice would you give the dads out there that are raising newbies and others in cities such as Chicago and all over that might have, you know, problems with at least from on the news with the police issues and other things?
One of the things that I think we as inner city dads need to do is try to change what our children experience. I think oftentimes we keep our kids in the neighborhoods. We don't try and take advantage of libraries, of parks, of museums, of different cultural institutions that don't cost a lot of money, if it's even taking them to the orchestra for a $10 ticket, or taking them, if they always go to a White Sox game, try and figure out a way to take them to a Cubs game. Just broaden their minds. I think oftentimes, especially in inner city, if you're dealing with inner city violence, the day-to-day assaults of police and crime and low expectations can really break down someone mentally. But if every now and then you say, you know what, today let's do something different. Let's get in the car or take the train or bus and go to the botanical gardens. Let's try and go to the museum. To the zoo. Let's, I know you guys love playing basketball. Let's go and see what a soccer game is like. Let's go and see some people playing lacrosse. I think that our experiences in the city give us strength and give us guidance, but it also narrows our view of the world and kind of lowers our expectations. So if anything, even if it's something really cheap or free, anything you can do, I think there's a lovely program that I like to take the boys to here in Chicago, the Midnight Circus, where they can go and see circus performers for $5. Anything you can do just to get them out of the normal doldrums, especially when times are rough and people that care about are being hurt, I think is a good good thing. So I guess main thing I want to say to fathers out there is try and broaden your kids' horizons. Take them to things that, you know, you never got to experience. It's good for you and it'll be good for the your children. And it'll be a bonding experience.
Yeah, thank you for that. And those that cannot afford that, there are ways that they can get to go places like that for free.
Check out a library. Check out a museum pass.
A museum pass at the library and find out. Talk to other people. I did say that was the last question, but actually I had one more question. Okay. And so that last question is so related to today being Father's Day. And I just wanted to ask you, can you think of one thing that your father taught you that you want to make sure that our kids, our boys, will know or remember or do?
Well, much to my wife's chagrin, my father was a huge White Sox fan, and I was a huge White Sox fan.
And I'm a Cubs fan.
And she's a Cubs fan, but I am taking my kids as much as I can to White Sox games. So I guess I'm spreading the disease, as it were, of being a Sox fan to them. The other thing, though, that they probably would like to... Well, I know our oldest son actually takes after this is some of our food choices. My father was grew up in East St. Louis, which was, you know, a really really well-known meat packing and meat producing area of the country. So he had a lot of taste for fat food that tastes great, was really bad for you. So we all got a taste for like ribs and chicken and pork and all sorts of different things. And meat eating has always been an issue with the Wrights. And I think it's an issue with at least my oldest son. So learning how to enjoy decadent bad food is also a thing that we were present.
Well, I bet I'm going to ask you this question for me. What do you think I'm doing the same thing for my father, for our kids?
Popcorn. they are eating a lot of popcorn as we're growing up. And as they're growing up, and actually popcorn is not one of my favorite foods just because it always gets caught in my teeth. But my kids love popcorn and my wife loves popcorn and likes sharing popcorn with them.
Yeah, and my dad was obsessed with popcorn. That and also the Buckeyes. He went to Ohio State. He taught there, so making them Buckeye fans. And then last but not least, he was really into working with internationals, and I'm trying to get the boys as educated as possible with working with a bunch of international friends and just having fun with them and understanding other cultures.
It's actually one last really good point about that is when we speak about diversity, people use that phrase as kind of an empty, kind of a catch-all. Oh, let's all be more diverse. But what does that really mean? To me, what it means is that you appreciate and you understand other cultures that are not like yours, and you can see the strength in people's different points of view. I think one of the really good things that my wife has been doing with our kids is making sure they're exposed to a lot of different cultures. Just so even if we don't have the money to travel everywhere, they can get a taste of different cultures just from their friends and parties and events and food and cuisine. I think that makes someone much more well-rounded and able to adapt to different situations. And I think it's good for people. So once again, here's another tip for the dads out there, or the moms, or single parents with their children. Find a way to spice it up every now and then and treat your children to a different type of ethnic food than what you would eat. So if you always eat soul food, go out and get some Japanese food, or try some Chinese food. If you always try that, get some Vietnamese or some Indian or something you wouldn't expect. Get some Russian. Try different foods. That's a great way to experience the world without actually having to get on a flight.
Right. And then, and also for other cultures, we will make the soul food for them to taste and understand that. But that's one thing that my father really, really put in me and that I'm spreading on. I learned so much about that from him and my mom. So thank you so much, babe, for this podcast. And again, happy Father's Day to you and to all the fathers out there. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Bye-bye.
We loved it.
Great. So it is Father's Day. So let's surprise him by asking you guys a question. What is your favorite thing about Daddy? Miles?
He is super nice and good.
And Mace, what's your favorite thing about Daddy? What does he do that you love the best?
I like when me and him go to work with him.
When you go to work with him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fun.
I did too. I did it like all the times except for this work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when he worked at the other, or his other office?
Yeah.
What do you guys remember most about your papa?
Well.
What do you remember most about him?
He loved sparkling lemonade.
Yeah. And popcorn.
And popcorn.
Yeah. And he was super smart, right?
Yeah.
So did you guys know that not every kid has their dad around all the time?
Yeah.
So don't you feel blessed and very fortunate that your dad's around all the time?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Mace, too?
Yes.
Well, I love you, Daddy.
Me too.
Okay, guys. Well, happy Father's Day to everyone out there, and I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Have a good one.
Listen to our mom.